Our focus tonight is the upper room, where Jesus gave us one of his greatest gifts. But for just a moment, I want to leave that upper room and travel as far from it as any human being has ever gone. In 1969, as Buzz Aldrin prepared to become the first man to walk on the moon, he wanted to mark that moment not just as an American achievement, but as something meaningful for all people. So with the help of his pastor, he chose a simple act, that sacred gift given by the Son of God on the night before he suffered. Just minutes after touching down on the moon, Aldrin made the following transmission. This is the LM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. Aldrin then ended the radio communication, and there on the silent surface of the moon, 250,000 miles from home, here is what happened next in Aldrin's own words. In the radio blackout, I opened the little plastic package which contained the bread and the wine. I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Then I read the scripture. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Friends, in this one act, Buzz Aldrin shows us something about this gift that Jesus gives us on this night. How it feeds us. How it reconciles us. And how it draws forth gratitude from our hearts. Three aspects of Jesus' gift, which are reflected in the three names by which it's come to be known. The Lord's Supper, where we are fed. Holy Communion, where we are reconciled. And the Great Thanksgiving, where our hearts pour out gratitude for our great God. The Lord's Supper. The bread and wine that Aldrin carried with him were the very first food to be consumed on the moon. Isn't that extraordinary? But of course, that little piece of bread and that little sip of wine were not going to quench his physical hunger. No, the bread and the wine, they are outward and visible signs that Jesus yearns to nourish our souls. How often do we come to this altar rail forgetting that Jesus meets us there to feed us? For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Friends, that's a promise. Jesus gave us this meal to assure us week by week, I will give you what you need for the trials of this life. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. I am with you and I am for you. That's why we pray these same words every time we receive Holy Communion. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of what? Of thy favor and goodness towards us. Friends, come forward with an expectant heart and be fed by your Lord who loves you. The Lord's Supper, where we are fed. Holy Communion, where we are reconciled. You see, this gift doesn't just feed us individually, it binds us together. Back on earth, Aldrin's pastor had the loaf of bread from which Aldrin's little piece of bread had been taken, and he held it up in front of the congregation as a visible symbol for the congregation to see. And he explained that even though Aldrin was 250,000 miles away, he was partaking of the same loaf. And that in Christ, though they be separated in time and space, we are made one body through him. That act of Holy Communion was a visible sign of the communion that Aldrin had with his brothers and sisters back home. And yes, with his brothers and sisters assembled here today. Jesus gave us Holy Communion to remind us that the cross opens the way for communion with God and communion with each other. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the same version of the following. Pastor, you don't want me to come to your church because if I came in, the roof might collapse. Or worse still, might get struck by lightning and the whole thing burned down. Translation. I'm not good enough. I'm not pure enough. I'm not holy enough to come to your church. Somewhere along the way, the message of the gospel has been completely misunderstood. Holy Communion is a weekly reminder that although none of us is worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under our master's table, wonder of wonders, his nature is to take us into his arms and to draw us to himself. And it's the cross of Jesus that makes that embrace possible. A holy God embracing his wayward, rebellious, unholy people. Thanks be to God. In other words, Holy Communion is not for people who have it all together. Holy Communion is for those who know that they don't. Friends, if you come here tonight and you are not sure where you stand with God, please hear this. Jesus has made a way for you to be reconciled to him through Christ, through his cross. Not once you've cleaned up your life, but just as you are. Embrace Jesus and be reconciled to God tonight. Holy Communion with God, but also Holy Communion with each other. Holy Communion joins us together as a fellowship of God's people. Every Sunday when we recite the Creed, be it the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we proclaim that we believe in the communion of saints. We don't celebrate communion by ourselves, we always celebrate it together. Even when communion is taken to the homebound or those who are in hospital, it is taken from this same table from which we have taken our communion as a sign and symbol that we are one body. In communion with each other. Some of us here tonight know what it's like to be excluded or ignored, to be isolated or rejected, to be cut off or cut out, to be on the outside looking in. But Holy Communion is a tangible reminder that we belong in God's family. That whether we are single or whether we live in a household full of children, we are never alone. We're part of a family. Now, friends, being part of a family is not always easy. Sometimes we hurt each other. Sometimes we let each other down. But God's welcome at this table is a weekly reminder that we, as God's people, are the first to say these words. Brother, sister, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. And likewise, brother, sister, I forgive you. Let's be reconciled. We are one body. We're committed to each other. We belong to each other. This day is called Maundy Thursday because Jesus gave us a mandate that we would love one another as God has loved us. At this table, God reconciles us to himself and he reconciles us to each other. The Lord's Supper, where we are fed. Holy Communion, where we are reconciled. And the great Thanksgiving, where our hearts pour out gratitude for our great God. When Buzz Aldrin was trying to figure out what he was going to do to mark the occasion of landing on the moon, he wanted to do something as a tangible way of showing his gratitude to God. So he celebrated the great Thanksgiving. To thank God for the great gift and privilege of being able to go up and land on the moon. To give thanks to God for the great gift of his creation. But most of all, to thank God for the great gift of new and eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. In that moment, there on the moon, Buzz was mirroring his master, who on the night before he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, sometimes in this life, giving thanks does not come easily. Some of us come tonight carrying heavy burdens, financial strains, broken relationships, disappointments that feel crushing. And on a night like this, it can feel as though darkness is winning. Jesus is about to be betrayed. The soldiers are already underway. Jesus will be bound and led away. By all appearances, everything is falling apart. And yet, what does Jesus do? He takes the bread and he gives thanks. Because he knows that even here, even now, in this moment, his Father is at work. That this is not the end of the story. That beyond the cross, there is a kingdom. That beyond the suffering, there is a feast. And friends, this is his promise to his people, that those who remain with him through the trials and disappointments of this life, they will one day eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. Friends, when you can see that day, even dimly, it begins to change this day. It gives you courage to endure. And even in the midst of sorrow, it can begin to draw thanksgiving out of your heart. On the night before he suffered, Jesus gave us a great gift. So all who are hungry, come to the Lord's table to be fed. All who have felt at odds with God or isolated from others in his body, come to Holy Communion and be reconciled and reminded that you belong. And all those who have eyes to see that promised day when we will feast with the saints in light eternal, come to the great Thanksgiving with glad and thankful hearts for the loving mercies of God. So come to be fed, to be reconciled, and to give thanks.